Could you describe any other personal or family or social or political events that contributed to your evolution as a teacher in DSJ?
I would say my own experience in dance. You know, dance is a pretty patriarchal art form. And I think some of that is because it's very identified with the body. And I think we live in a time, and in Western culture, there's a deep ambivalence about the body as, you know, maybe being something dirty or something that we can't control and not as important as our intellect, you know, that kind of binary. And I think women get associated with the body. Mm-hmm. And dance is a field that is, you know, largely populated by women. So there are ways in which the field of dance can be this marvelous sort of women's community where you're finding your power as a, you know, an agent and as a director and as a performer and connecting to yourself. But all of those standards that are out in popular culture about what your body's supposed to look like and how when you get past the age of 30, you're over the hill, that gets intensified in the field of dance. So, you know, when I started dancing, I think I was 9 when I took my first dance class, and I took a ballet class. I grew up in New York City, and was doing pretty well until I hit puberty, and it became clear that I was not going to be, you know, like this long-legged, you know, string bean ballerina body type, because there was a body type. And I, immediately, the way I was treated changed. And instead of getting feedback and being encouraged, I was sort of shoved in the back of the room and ignored. And luckily, I got really pissed off about it, because I knew other girls that it just broke their heart, and they felt inadequate and became bulimic. And instead, for me, I was like, screw this, and so I quit. And then I was lucky to find modern dance in high school through a sort of fluke. And then I realized, oh, there are other ways of moving and other body types in dance. And not that the modern dance world is exempt from that kind of body fascism, but it's a little gentler place than the ballet world. But I've always been particularly adamant about not subscribing to this belief that you have to look a certain way or have a certain body type or weigh a certain amount in order to be a dancer. Mm-hmm. You know, that's an extremely narrow, bigoted point of view as far as I'm concerned. You look at what dance and the culture that dance comes out of all over the world, and all kinds of people dance, all ages, all abilities, all body types, all genders. So that's a really important thing that I feel like affected my pathway in dance, got me more interested in things like martial arts, because that was really, I had come here, I think, to dance, and then I got involved in martial arts right away, and I know that if I had not done martial arts, I would have quit dancing for good. And it was there that I figured out that I could enjoy my body and feel good about it, feel powerful, and, you know, in martial arts, the older you get, the more your wisdom and facility is admired. And it's sort of the opposite in dance, you know, like the sort of drop-off of where your skills and status are respected really, you know, goes down as you get older. So I've always had this alternate universe, even though I haven't been in martial arts for almost 20 years. I know that there's this other way of training in a rigorous way and achieving mastery that has a completely different value system. And I feel like I bring that into my classroom as a teacher here, and I teach outside of here.